So we'll start Simon Sadi off today. I do not anticipate finishing it, especially because I haven't. When I mark the bechinas, I will. I'm going to try to mark them before Thursday, and then I will take the time then.
Everybody took it though.
Except for one person who's sick. Everybody.
Are they
took
getting
it.
The same silence?
Yeah. Yeah, but that person's not here now either. Oh. So I assume they'll probably have done it by Thursday. But so far, I don't know if everybody passed, but everybody who was supposed to take this bechina, even one who's not in London anymore, took the bechina. At least we're four for four in terms of
that. All right, we're doing
okay.
This chalice.
So, the Shulchan Aruch now deals specifically with Tarovus Abasar B'Chalav. One of the things that you will note already, and it's kind of, I don't want to say annoying, but the way the Torah chose to do things is to put, I don't want to say put things in the wrong places. I don't know why. I still don't know why Tarovus is after Basar B'Chalav. And it really, really messes things up, because a lot of this material that is found, that's relevant to this simon, is found in simon Kofei, our favorite simon from Tarovus. So there's a lot of material there, and the Beis Yosef tells you, you know, at one point, you know, most Tashlum Dinam Elu is written in simon Kofei, and there are some other dinam also found in Hilchos Melicha and simon Samach Tes. But for the most part, the bulk of the material that's relevant to sort of the second part of the simon is found in Kofei. So we've done much of that already, so it's a little bit of Chazara. So you can't forget about Ilah Gavar and Tata Gavar, and you can't forget about the issue, even though it's not going to really be discussed at any length here, that when it comes to Melicha, in terms of being Oser Kedei Klipa, that's only if you're a Sephardi. But if you're an Ashkenazi, we treat all Isurim as Isur Shamein, and we assume that even by both Melicha and Sli, that Isur Shamein is Mefapea and is Oser potentially Kulo. That you have to remember. Of course, if you learning things Keseder for the first time, I don't know what you're going to think, because you're learning Simen Tzadi Aleph first, and then you haven't learned Kofei yet. So it beats the heck out of me.
Aren't there certain cases where even the Rama specifically says this is not an Isur Shamein?
It's in Kofei, but it's under very narrow circumstances that we assume that this is Vadai Kachosh. So anyway, the Shulchan Aruch begins at least with Doran Pshutim, which is Basar Gvina Shenagu Zabezeh Mutarim. So if your meat and your cheese touch one another, it's mutter to eat them. Ela shetzarach la'diach malchum negiyas, and you have to rinse off the part that came in contact, so in case there's any little bit of moisture from one on the other, a little bit of end from one on the other, so that you have to wipe away. Umutter latzaro sambe mefachas achas, you can wrap them up in one handkerchief. Elo chayshinon shem yugas zebezeh, so we're not afraid that they're actually going to come in contact. Obviously, it doesn't mean you take one napkin and you put the two of them together, because then vada yugas zebezeh, not suffik yugas, dilma yugas zebezeh. Obviously, it means in two compartments in a napkin, or somehow in such a way where it's not vada, it's going to happen. And we're not choshesh. And what happens if they do touch each other?
Rinse.
So you rinse them off. Okay. Now the Shulchan Aruch quotes a din in the name of the Baal HaYitur. It's from the Torah quoting the Baal HaYitur. That kol midi deboi hadacha kigon lohniach basar heter tzonein bekara shel isur tzonein asur lechatchila dilma achil below hadacha. So you're not allowed lechatchila to put a davar shel heter in a ka'ara shel iser. Why? Dilma achil below hadacha. I mean, you're not allowed to have heter purposely put in contact with iser, because maybe you're going to come and eat it without hadacha. But v'dafka mevusho d'lav urchei b'hadacha. But dafka, if it's a davar mevusho, meaning it's prepared already, so you just take it out and eat it. And you're not normally going to wash it, but if you're going to wash it anyway, because we're not choshesh that you're going to behave, you know, hygienically improperly. The assumption is you're going to do what you're supposed to do. You're going to take it out, you're going to rinse it, and then you'll do whatever you do to it. In that case, you're probably going to have to cook it as well. Now, I have to say that the language, the Rishonim here let me down greatly, because nobody really speaks in great terms of clarity. What does it mean? A ka'ara shel iser tzonein. Can someone define what is ka'ara shel iser tzonein? I have my piece of kosher meat. So what does it mean? It means I have a pot of iser tzonis. It means I have chazer in the pot, and I put the meat on top of the chazer. Is that what it means? A treif plate. So let me ask you a question. What's the concern? It's tzonin. Why do you have to rinse it off? Now, the Ramah is not going to make things any easier, because the Ramah deals with several contradictory sources and puts together several different kinds of sharas. One note that I'll tell you that it's not. What it doesn't mean is that you're not allowed to put it in a kedera shel iser lest you come to heat it up and thereby extract the tam. Now, for that reason...
Now you're talking about cooking here.
For that reason, you're not allowed to do this bekeva. It is usher to take a treif pot or treif kalim, where you could at least, but you might come to heat them or in some way, and to put kosher food in them, bekeva, lest you come to be mechamim it. And that the Shach quotes, that very long Shach in Sifkot and Gimel, which I'm sure all of you got through. It's not as hard as it looks. The Shach at the end points out that in Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph, in Hilchos Hechsher Kalim, the Shulchan Aruch says there that you're not allowed to put, you're not allowed to be Mishnamish Derech Keva, Kedera Shel Isser, and he doesn't distinguish between Kedera and Ka'ara. He doesn't make that distinction, lest you come to somehow use it Bechamin. But this means B'Derech Arai. In other words, I need to put this down on a plate for the moment. Am I allowed to put it on a tray plate? Now again, I still haven't explained what exactly is the concern here. Alec?
Could it be, that you can't put basar on top of, just on top of a bowl that has some sort of polished top shield?
It's inside, cold. But not touching it. What? Or literally, what I just said. In other words, you put it down on chazir, but it's cold, so you'd have to rinse it off when you take it up.
Yeah, but lechatchila you shouldn't do that.
So that's what the shulchan. So that would be a plausible reading of the Shulchan Aruch. I don't think anybody reads it that way, but the language does give that impression. That's why I asked the question earlier. If I had chazir sitting in the pot, am I not allowed to put down a piece of? Is that what it means? It's the only thing I'm not allowed to do, Shlomo.
Well, the only stuff that's aser gabe. I mean, look, it's
chalav, or I don't care.
So that's putting buzzer.
Chalav or chazir, what's the difference?
Okay, fine, it's the same.
Shlomo?
When did this ever come up? Meaning the case that you're constructing of having kosher meat and then.
Oh, forget that. Okay, fine, so chalav, you happy?
No. Then what's the answer? What's the.
Putting basar down in a pot where there's chalav. Because when I pick it up, I just have to rinse it off.
I wouldn't necessarily read that's so clear that it's. I mean, I don't think that's what it can be because it's a kedera shel iser.
I agree. So what would you like it to be?
I don't know, but I'm just saying I have a hard time believing that they would be talking about a theoretical case.
Nobody understands it. Nobody understands it that way. I agree with you. So it means something that got treifed off.
Or can it be treifed?
Or it means with a non-Jew. There's a scenario of the Taz. I don't understand everything.
And non-Jewish shvachos.
So what's that?
Could be that it was a.
Or in a guy's house, you can have the Taz talks about scenarios. And there are things I just don't. The Taz is in. Where is the Taz? The Taz in it quotes the Marshal in Sifkat and Beis, and I need to read it again, but I don't understand what's going on. So let's make matters a little worse. Obviously, you're not talking about a Kli which has Isser Shel Ba'en in it. That's not what you're talking about. You're talking about something that presumably is at least Balua of Isser. And let me give another step, but this may or may not be the case. The Shach is going to assume at the end of Sifkat and Gimel that it's a case in which there might still be some Be'en. Not that there's lots of Be'en. There's a little bit Be'en. There's a film in the pot or something like that that hasn't been cleaned out. Or that might not have been cleaned out. In such a case, nobody would put a piece of basar on top of pieces of chazir. But let's say the pot was a treif pot or a treif plate, and there's a little bit of stuff on the. It wasn't cleaned so fully. If it's Be'en, even that's a machlokas we saw in Simen, I don't remember which Simen, where was the discussion? Was it Simen? It wasn't Kufhei.
It was Tony.
It was Simen Kuftes, maybe? I don't know. Where was that Simen? Anybody remember Simen Kufdalid? Kufdalid, no St. Talmud Gan.
But Tony.
I know, but you're still mixing it. So it's not, you said any Benyom, but that's totally irrelevant if you're talking about Be'en, is my point. It's a machlokas, whether a film in a pot becomes an Eino Benyomo, and we paskin. When we say that Be'en does not become Eino Ben Yomo, unless it's Mamish Nisaruach. If it's putrid, then it's gone lo sein talmud gam. But as long as it's be'en and it doesn't, it's not clearly putrid, so then we assume that being in a binyan doesn't, it's lamal of lamorid. So it's not clear whether or not this means a pot that has some be'en in it or not be'en in it. Now, the way the Ramah handles this, the Ramah in the Torah Schadas and in the Darkei Moshe, and by the way, this Shaila is very, very much halacha l'maisa. It's very much halacha l'maisa. I mean, it's not that you can do it every day, and most Jewish housewives would never consider such a thing, but in the case of a pressing need, and you need a pot to put something in, and the question is, are you allowed to put it in temporarily? So, what's that? I'm not mekabel, and not because it's usher, but because I don't believe the Rebbetzin would ever have allowed it.
No, that was the whole point.
What's that?
That was the point.
That wasn't the story. I don't think that was the story.
It would be like eating ice cream at Friendly's.
No, it's different.
The difference there is that there it's not clear whether you're dealing with any real tarfus in the first place, and it's glass. Okay. At least, we're not. I don't think I've been there in. Probably,
it
wow, it's
be
been
metal,
a long time.
Metal,
probably 15 years at least, but
could be metal.
They also use like separate dishes,
but they wash them together.
Okay, but bottom line is that the glass is not balea, so the only question is the spoons. The spoon. So that would be a good case actually. That using the spoon, right. So the except for this goes back to the question. I didn't look at Kuf Chaf Aleph later. It's only what I remember the Shach quotes I remember from years ago during Hachshir Kalim, Hilchas Hachshir Kalim. Is I don't know what the din is if it's something that you never use bechamin. In other words, there might be a greater kula there.
What do you mean you ever use bechamin?
The spoon? I guess they soup. Do they serve soup there?
No, but these are
hot fudge.
There may be
hot fudge is not yad to lettuce, no. Is it? I mean, maybe it is in the kitchen. I guess in the kitchen it might be. Once they pour it over the ice cream, it's done. Okay, so bottom line is we're masking. It could come up lemaisa. Okay. So anyway. Maybe that'll be in your bechina. What to do in Friendly's?
They use special separate spoons, actually.
Bring a plastic
spoon. They use separate.
Okay.
Is it Mars sign?
yesterday was question day.
That's right. Lots of people weren't here, so okay. Well.
By the way, what was
anyway, not if a lot of people know that kosher people go and eat ice cream. Bottom line. So I think that's at least when I was growing up, the Minhag Mekubal, even for very firm people, I don't know how firm people, but firm people would go into Howard Johnson's or would go into Friendly's to eat ice cream. And the assumption was that everybody knows that they serve ice cream, but not that it's everything inside the store is kosher. Okay. So the other possibility, which would appear, so the Ramah deals with a set of steers between, in the Torah, quoting different opinions. This particular din, he happens to quote from the Bala Itur, but he quotes something, I think, from the Or HaSchaim, Lahakel. And so the Ramah tries to come up with several different ways of saying Haba X, Haba Y. So here he writes something, the Taz actually amends the language, but either way, V'dafka davar sheyesh bo lechluchis k'tzas, aval davar yavesh mamish, if it's completely dry, im lo bala hakli rak betzone, in muta lo niyach bo davar yavesh bo hadacha klau. So the Ramah here actually really combines two chumras. The Ramah has takes two different stabs in the Darkei Moshe here. He takes two, and there may be a third in the Torah Schatas as to how to resolve the stira between sources, because the Torah quotes both the Or HaSchaim and the Bala Itur. So one suggestion the Ramah has that there's a difference between when something is lach or something is tzoneh. And if it's lach, then when you put a davar lach, when you put something which is lach, so then lach could potentially absorb even something from that something that's yavesh. Whereas when you put mamish two dry things together, so if it were yavesh mamish, then to put it into gdeira shalisser would not be a problem. Now again, if you're talking about what now is the Ramah talking about an iser ve'en or an iser balua? So the truth be told, minasvara, one could argue that even if it were just an iser balua, there's a reason to be mechalik between davar lach and davar yavesh. And what is that? Although not really sure it works, which is that a davar lach potentially could be maflitam al yedei kavush. If you take a dry piece of cheese and you put it in a fleshik pot and you leave it there for 40 days and 40 nights, it does not have the din of kavush kemevushal. Why not? A, because there was no mabul. B, because there was no liquid, and you have no kavush with that liquid. If so, So you could say that's what the Rama is concerned about, but it doesn't sound like you have, even if it's lach, it doesn't sound like you have enough liquid that it would constitute kavush. The alternative would be to understand that really the concern is about some type of a be'en that's still left in the pot. But if that's the case, it shouldn't only matter whether or not the thing you put in is lach, it should matter what the film is like. So that's not entirely clear. That's one. The second distinction the Rama makes really points more to an Isser Balua question only. And that is, the Rama says it depends whether the Kli was Balea Bechamin or Bitsonin. Now you all look at me and say, how is a Kli Balea Bitsonin?
You just said it.
So Kavush Kamavushal would be the way is a Kli is Balea Bitsonin. You know that Balea Bitsonin is an issue from Stam Yenim, right? Or from Chavios of Yayin Esach, what you do with the barrels. So the Rama makes a distinction and says that if you're dealing that something was Balea Bechamin, so then it's Aser. If it's Balea Bitsonein, then it's Mutter. Now, what the Rama appears to have done here, although the Taz changes the gears in the Rama, is to combine the two Chumras. In order for it to be Mutter, it has to be a Davar Shebala Bitsonein and a Davar Yavesh. Then it's Mutter. Shlomo? Chometz Otsir could be a balua in a shorter time.
A wooden spoon, if you use a wooden spoon, balua only happens after 24 hours?
In kol, that's our assumption. That's a general problem with the kavush process, but...
That's weird.
Well, yeah.
So, like, I'll mix iced tea with a wooden spoon to turn the color of the... It has clearly...
But if you rinse it off, if you rinse it off and you dry it, the assumption is there aren't...
Make tuna fish. Make something that, you know, that has a stronger scent. If you do that, and you if you leave it in
I don't know, probably if you wash it with hot water and soap, you won't... I bet you won't spill it. That's your homework. That's your homework, okay? Just because you're married with children doesn't give you exemption from homework. That's your homework.
It's saying that there isn't anything absorbed doesn't say there isn't anything on the outside. So it's still Netzila.
So the Shach goes on at great length to demonstrate that nobody actually said there's a chiluk between Bala B'cha and Bala B'tzonin. And what would that chiluk be, by the way? The assumption is that when something is Balea B'tzonin, I believe it's only Balea a very limited amount, maybe Kidei Klipa. Whereas Balea B'chamin can be Balea much more. I don't remember, I know that's true by Yainesach, I didn't know that was true by all these Surim. Either way, that would appear to be the basis of the Ramah's distinction. And the problem is, as the Shach points out, that none of the sources seem to have actually this distinction. And he collects a whole group of Rishonim who assume that it makes no difference, even if something is Volei Abachamin, you're allowed to be Mishtamish Bo Bitsonein Shalheter. And it's not a problem. It's not a problem.
Sorry, what does that mean? That it was Volei Abachamin?
For example, some Rishon, this is the machlok is what the Gemara actually said. It may not be in the Gemara at all, but let's say you have kelim. The Gemara says that if you have regular kelim, not things that were used with the yeast or powerful leavening agents, regular kelim of chametz year round that are clean, you're allowed to use on Pesach bitzonin. I know, don't ever try that. Okay, but the point is medina tzmuta. Why? Because bitzonin, it's not maflet. And it doesn't matter, there's no distinction made between whether something was Bolei B'chamin or Bolei B'tzonin.
Isn't it also Bato from before Pesach? So
no, before who Pesach? Says it's Bato before Pesach? I mean, you might have that if you cooked in it, you could have, what?
The Bleos?
Bleos are not potatoes.
But there's no significance, there's no Sinham of God.
That's two deus in the Ramah. But assuming that it's a Ben Yomo, or something, or you could have a case of Davar Charif. Which is Meshavi, you know, if you cook onions in a chametz tikka pot, they're 100% glat on Pesach, they're 100% glat treif, even though it's Ani Ben Yomo. What?
They're onions. How can onions be aser on Pesach?
Because you cook them in a chametz tikka pot on Pesach. It's one, even though it's an Ani Ben Yomo, it's 100% glat treif.
L'chul
Ayama.
The blios sheba blios?
The blios in the pot that come out into the onions, even though the pot was an Ani Ben Yomo, that's Davar Charef. We mentioned this in passing. In Hilchos Tarovis, it was mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. We didn't dwell on it at length, so you can have situations, and Midrabanan, it's certainly asur l'chatchila to cook like that. So the Shach, after going on a great length to demonstrate that the Ramah's distinction is not possible, In the end, that explains that the din of the Orchas Chaim when he's mekel is when you madiach the pot really well. If you madiach the pot and you inspect it and there's nothing left in it, so then it's mutter l'shtamish bedavar shel heter in a kedera shel iser, not bederach keva but bederach harai, because there's no be'en there and therefore it's not going to be bolea anything. And the case that the Bala Itur is talking about is a case where it was lo chudchu yafe yafe. That's the Shach's language when he says alva be'emes nirali demashikosav orchas chaim kelim shogoy shehudchu yafe hainu diyadinon shehudchu yafe kigon shidicham Yisrael achshav. And he goes on to talk about you can really wipe it out well, that's acceptable as well. But it means there should be, when you know bebiru that there's no be'en in the pot, then it's mutter lishtamish bo bitzonein, as long as it's not done derech keva. So he doesn't agree with the Ramah. The Taz defends the Ramah, but just says that he thinks there's a Taz sofa in the Ramah, and the Ramah meant to say two kulas. One is if it's yavesh, it's mutter, and two is if it was bala bitzonein, it's also mutter. Okay. It's a general practice. Again, under circumstances, we don't recommend doing this, but there are circumstances in which you don't have another option, or it's done, if it's done derech harai, so it's mutter. So that is why when you would, according to the Shach, and this I think is a reasonably good assumption, although you should look at the spoon, that if you go into friendlies and you're going to eat with the spoon, so you look at the spoon, if the spoon is clean, then according to the Shach, it would be mutter to eat the ice cream with it. Even on the chance that the spoon were actually trafed up in the dishwasher, assuming that could even happen, assuming it was a real chashash, nonetheless, since it's hudchu yafe yafe, probably it was because it was the dishwasher and you can inspect it anyway, so at that point, so it's mutter l'shtamosh beheter, b'tzonein, if it's done derech harai, I think in a restaurant, that's for you, that's called derech harai, that's not your keva. Josh? No, I don't think so.
Okay. I just wasn't sure. Does that mean that it was used with dairy? And
then dairy equipment is what we call not barnad. It means that the equipment was once used for dairy. It was cleaned. Presumably it was cleaned. And now it's used with parv. So the parv, it really should be parv. But because it was on dairy equipment, so therefore we're machmir, the Ashkenazim are machmir to treat it as dairy. You know, dairy so as not to eat it with meat. That's all. And meat is not, you can eat it after meat. But not eat it with me. That's all. You know, b'di'evet we're mekel. B'di'evet, if you took this broccoli that was DE, I'm sorry, if you took this broccoli, let's say that was fleishik equipment, okay? It was cooked in a fleishik pot, and you melted the cheese over it already, and now you're going to have to throw it out, otherwise that's called b'di'evet, and even the Ramah is mekel. And we're going to get to that. I think it's Simon Tzadi Dalet, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
What about the stuff that's made in their equipment that's cold? What they know, having glass sorbet, has no idea on it.
Yeah, but the question is, when it's processed, is it cold now? Was it always cold in the processing? That's the issue, right? If you knew it was cold throughout the processing, and you know it wasn't kavush kemavusha, although the truth is, you know it's not kavush kemavusha. Why do you know? This is the clever chop we saw. I forget the Shach and Taz jump all up and down at the beginning of Simen Kuf Dalet over this. How do you know that it's only going to be a problem if it was heated, not if it's going to be kavush kemavusha? Because how long does it take for kavush kemavushal? 24 hours. After 24 hours, the tam that comes out is pagum. So even the Ashkenazim don't hold the chomer of not barnat when it's a nosin tam lefgam. So my assumption, if they mark it as D and DE, it must be that it's probably because it's used hot. In other words, it's manufactured, there's heat in the process, and only later is it cooled. That'd be my guess. Okay. So anyway, so that's the long shach and sifkat and gimel, but you're still mechayev to read through the entire thing. Okay. Fine. Next, in the same vein, Sarach Lizarash Lo Yigar Basar Belechem. You have to be careful that and we saw this already, that the basar is not supposed to come in contact with the bread. Shem Yigabo Asar La'achlo Im Gvina. So again, this din applies equally today. It's just that we use bread very differently today in Western society, certain American society. Most people here, I would venture to guess, if you're not having pizza, you're not having a bagel, when you sit down for lunch, you don't have bread with it. And that's pretty typical. Some people, I'm not saying nobody does, but that's very typical. It's typical of particularly the American diet, right? Most people for breakfast, there's not bread on the table. It's cereal, it's eggs, it's toast. Bacon, it's... Cuban, would you just keep quiet? I didn't say nobody. I didn't say nobody ever has bagels or toast and so on. Most people go into the cafeteria and do a survey, and I'll bet you see that, you know, that it's certainly a Ruba de Minkara that are not eating bread for breakfast, and I'd even bet that you might even get to a miut, you know, milsa de lo shchicha, you know, of a small miut of less than, let's say, 10% or something like that, who are actually eating bread.
But might that's be a
your
valuable survey.
That's your homework tomorrow, okay? You go into the cafeteria for breakfast, and you'll tell me how many people are eating things that would constitute, you know, straight bread. Okay, it's very common, you know, in the supper meals. Most, I imagine, many people do not have bread. There isn't bread sitting there standing on the table. The only place you sort of see this in some context in restaurants, they put bread on the table. But it's almost like an old-fashioned, you know, relic. So, of course, you know, Jews walk into the restaurant, of course they're going to wash and have bread because they put bread in front of me, right? You know, the old joke about the guy who walks into the restaurant and says, do you charge for bread? And he says, no. And he says, do you charge for water? And he says, no. I said, okay, I'll have some bread and water. But once upon a time, you never heard that? Okay. But once a, very much a Jewish joke, obviously. But once upon a time, bread was a staple. So you had some, you might have had some meat, but the point is there was bread that was part of your meal. So you have to be very careful about not letting it come in contact with the basar. Otherwise, your next meal, when you're going to have some cheese along with your bread, you're going to have a problem with it. So again, the din is the same for us. It's just not as common. Right? It's just not as common.
So this din is that the bread that's on the table, if you're having meat and bread at the same meal?
It means you have to be careful not to let the basar touch the bread, yes. Not the bread that's on your plate, the bread that's in the middle of the table that you're going to serve for the next meal.
Also before that, some types of bread are more absorbent than the bread that's in the wine.
This is a concern of not the. I mean, it's the same concern, but again, if it comes in contact, sometimes you're going to have to just cut away the bread. And whatever's going to be is going to be, but the advice of the Shulchan Aruch is avoid letting them come in contact. That's all. That's specifically mashkim anyway. Vafilu basar tzoma letol chalav roteach. I'm sorry, I skipped something. V'chein yizar shalo yiga bo gvina shemiga bo asr le'ochlam basar. Okay, it's very straightforward, not complicated. Okay, so now we've dealt with coal. Yes, Jonathan?
I think we also added
I'm sorry? That's correct. And that's why I think the it's funny, a lot of the Ramos stuff of that is in the Dark Emotion in this Simon, not in Simon Peites. Yeah, I don't know why. In other words, stuff winds up in funny places. But here he quotes all that stuff about Nitzah Bekarka, and all that stuff is quoted in Dark Emotion in this Simon. I don't remember being quoted in that Simon. I'm sorry?
If you use your flaccid knife to cut the bread.
Yes, and so I will tell you the following. Unless you're using a sakin, which is manuka. If your sakin is clean, if you really cleaned it, yes. Yes, correct. So I think a lot of people, I mean, in a lot of contexts, we do have bread knives, right? Like a challah board tip, most people have a bread knife. Yeah, that's correct.
But if you clean your, we also clean our genitals better in general.
What's that? Yes, that's true. True. Soap and hot water will do wonders for cleaning off Ben. Okay, now.
I don't want to get too far afield, but how do they clean, like, without soap and hot water?
Not well. Not well.
No, I mean, but
they use cold water and charcoal.
What was the masa?
You can use a sponge and you can rub off in cold. If you wash dishes on Shabbos in cold water, okay, it must be really hard without the soap, although soap helps certainly some. So they probably had some type of emulsifier that wasn't as effective as modern soap.
They used like pumice kinds of things.
So they would, but it wasn't as easy. And
it also depends where you live.
The
sometimes
heart.
There's lye under a lot of lakes, especially like in upstate New York, for example. So that it's very basic already, the water.
So it makes it easier to get stuff off?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why acid rain doesn't affect the Great Lakes, because they all have lye under them. So it just
neutralizes it. So it's not as good for washing dishes, but at least it's not. Okay, there you go. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch now says, basar v'cholav rotchen shenis arvu yachad. If you have basar and cholav that get mixed together, that are both hot, v'afilu basar tzonin l'tol cholav roteach, o cholav tzonin l'tol basar roteach, hakol aser, mishum d'tata gavar. Now, the truth is, there is an unusual shita in the Rishonim, the Beis Yosef quotes. You should be aware of it. It's thoroughly rejected, but you should know it anyway. And that is the shita of Ra'ah. Does anybody remember what the Ra'ah says? When you have, we assumed in the Gemara that the rule was, we paskin like Shmuel Tatal Gavar. We paskin like Shmuel Rashi says because there are two brises that are Tanya Kavase. So what is the din review? What's the din v'ilon Tatal Gavar? Cham l'tol cham is Asr. Sonein l'tol sonein is Mutter but Mediach. Sonein l'tol cham is Asr. Cham l'tol sonein, the brises both originally read, is mutter and you just need hadacha, and the Gemara modified it to say that klipa mihaboy. So what's clear is that when you have cham l'tocham or tzon l'tocham, you need more than a klipa. The pashtus is that nasa is the entire thing. That's the way most Rishonim hold. There's one day on the Rishonim, the Ra'ah, who says not true. And I believe, I didn't see the original, my assumption is the Ra'ah would agree that if it's cham l'tocham, it's oser kulo. But he says, if it's cham, if it's tzon l'tocham, then obviously it has to be osir more than a klipa, but he says kedei netila. So the Beis Yosef quotes the shita in passing here in the siman, and it's rejected. So the din is we paskin tatal gavar. Here's a very, very, very important point to remind you of. At least midina de gemara and midina of the mechaber, the principle of ilah gavar and tatal gavar, that ilah, if the ilah is hot, it's not. It's only osir kedei klipa. If the tatal is hot, it's oser kulo. That distinction exists by what? It exists primarily by, and really only by, bishul. Now, it can theoretically exist by tzli, but only in a limited circumstance. What is the limited circumstance? Davar mifapeya. Remember that tzli, ordinarily, it doesn't sli, even cham and cham, heter and iser, is only oser kedei klipa. So if cham and cham next to each other is only oser kedei klipa, ilah and tata is totally irrelevant. It only matters in a case where something could aser kulo, so, and by tzli that can only be by a davar hamifapeya. So in that case, if you have a davar hamifapeya, and then the upper one is hot, you're not dealing with rotav here, you're dealing with two solid things. If the upper one is hot, even though it's a davar mifapeya, at least me, certainly me, Dina de Gemara, I don't remember the Ramah, maybe the Ramah is also not machmer on this. The Ramah, is the Ramani more machmer on, he's probably not more machmer on ilah tatal gavar. It's only in a case where you're not sure whether it's shamein or not, that we assume everything is shamein. But if you're dealing with a situation where the thing on top was hot and the thing below was cold, then even by a davar mifapeya, even by a davar mifapeya, even by bishul, bishul by definition is mifapeya. That's it. That's why you don't have any of these chilukim by bishul. It's only by tzli. So even by a davar mifapeya, if it's the elyon that's hot, it only asers kidei klipa. So when it comes to tzli, the only time it's going to matter whether ilah tata gavar, it's only going to matter which is the hot one, which is the cold one, is when it's a davar mifapeya, which means for the Ramah, all the time. Everything's a davar mifapeya for the Ramah by tzli, and therefore it matters by tzli la and tatal gavar. For the Ramchader, it matters only in a situation of davar mifapeya. Malicha is going to be discussed in the next sif, I believe. Malicha, just to remind you, was a machlokas, whether ilah, there are multiple machlokasim by malicha. Number one is the machlokas of Rishonim, whether or not by malicha davar mifapeya is oser kulo, astur only oser kedei klipa. And there is a block of Rishonim that holds that it's only by tzli that we say davar mifapeya makes a difference, not by melicha. And number two, this is a machlokas, the Rashba and Tosas, whether the whole issue of ilah gavar and tatal gavar has any meaning whatsoever by melicha. Fine, so we'll get to deal with that. So anyway, so right now the Mechaber has said that basar v'chalav rotchin shenesar v'yachar afilu basar tzon etoch chalav roteach or chalav tzon etoch basar roteach hakol asur mishum yukatah gavar. Aval chalav roteach shenafal al basar tzonin, o basar roteach shenafal al chalav tzonin, kolef habasar ushar habasar mutar. Ad kan is very simple and straightforward, and my job would be easy if everybody stopped here. But the next two things we're gonna have I have a lot of difficulty understanding. First, let's look at what the Mechaber says. The Mechaber says V'achalav mutar kulo. V'imnaflu zeh l'toch zeh tzonenin madiach habasar umutar. Last line I understand. Forget that part. V'achalav mutar kulo. So explain this scenario to me. The chalav of the basar is hot. It's on top and it falls on top of the other. Either the meat makes a splash in the milk, or the milk flows over the meat. But the thing that's on top is hot. So we say that the meat requires a klipa. What about the challah? So it's a machlokas arishonim. And the truth be told, the mechaber and the ramah, paskin lekula, I don't really understand. I don't understand at all. My assumption was, and the truth is, my assumption was that when you have kidei klipa by ilah, when it's ilah is the cham, in general, when you have two things that cross with kidei klipa, that it's a two-way transfer. The assumption is that the chalav got partially in the basar, and the basar left some time in the chalav. So why should it be that the klipa of the basar doesn't ask kidei klipa in the chalav? Now, I know what you're going to say to me. I can explain them, but I still don't understand it. I can explain this based upon the din the Ramah states. What happens if you have something that's Nesar Kedei Klipa? And you're not a good boy. You don't call the rabbi. You don't ask a shayla. You don't find out the Klipa's Asur. And now you take the meat, and I'm going to throw in a detail that you may not... Has anybody gotten this far in the Shulchan Aruch from Nosei Kelim? Oh, good. Some people have. Did you get farther?
We didn't go on the Nosei Kelim. We finished the
Shulchan. Oh, no. I'm on Nosei Kelim. Shulchan Aruch's no fun without Nosei Kelim. Okay. Well, it's a lot of fun, but that's all you have to know. But so let's say you take this meat, you grind it up now, and you cook it. So what would you say the din should be? You have this meat that was Nesar Kedei Klipa, that boy Klipa, let me put it that way. You take the meat and you grind it up and you cook it. You could cook it up without grinding, but there's a reason why I say you grind it up. That's what I would have said. But that's not what Maran HaRamah says. The Ramah says, Rav makes an astounding statement. Uvamakom shabasar tzarach klipa im lo kalfu ubishlokach mutar b'di'avad. Wow. And I feel like you read the Shach, you look at the Shach, and the Shach's going to solve your problems. He's going to say the Ramah can't be right. That it's shever al shever nikra. The Shach quotes a steer from a bunch of Rishonim, and he comes up with the following answer. The Shach says, well, let me hold off on the Shach for a moment, but accept the Ramah for the moment. So you know why the milk is mutter without a klipa? Because you can't take a klipa out of the milk. Because it's hard to take that klipa of the milk that was nesar now got mixed in with the rest. So that's why you don't have to take it out of the milk.
Is the paradigm...
I do not understand what's going on here. There is a Magen Avraham that the Prima Gadim from Kiberger quotes, which I do understand. It's a very interesting Magen Avraham. Yeah, Shalom?
But can you answer the question from both sides and just say that in almost every case you're going to have shishim?
Not true.
Yeah.
To have shishim in the milk, connecting the meat, that's all. It could be a lot.
Klipa. No, not connecting the meat, just
connecting the klipa.
Yeah.
I don't know. You could still have, depending on the piece of meat, it would still be a lot. I don't know kidei exactly what the klipa is, but kidei netila is ke'ove etzba. That's a lot. Kidei klipa is something less.
I thought you said it was
mashu. You have to be able to scrape a layer off.
Right, but
it could be a very thin layer. It could be a thin layer,
it's
but
a piece of
what's that?
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's measured in a, but still, in other words, so it's a thin slice of salami, 60 of those. And imagine taking something the thinness of a thin salami slice that comes out of the meat slicer, you know, in the store, and you don't get much smaller than that. Right, you're not dealing with. They didn't have implements and instruments that could make slices. I think any smaller probably than what you would typically see in a professional meat slicer. So 60 of those is a lot, and that's not what they're saying. They're not saying they did not. Nosei Kelim do not say that mistamed is shishim. So the only answer I understand. I'm going to tell you what the Shach says. First, tell you what the Magen Avraham says. Alec.
Is it possible? Probably not. But could this be a din of Ishta?
Nobody says shishim here. Nishbach is just a suffix whether there was shishim or not.
What? So that.
No, but nobody says that. And according to you, if you knew bavadai they weren't shishim, it would be also. Nobody says that. There are other cases that the Shach points out. There are other situations in which we've shown him say in other scenarios that if you're hamachuya, if it's oser kedei klipa, and then you cook it, take the gid anasha. A yerish nisbashu bo gid. So we say that you need shishim keneged the shuman. The git has no time. You need shishim keneged the shuman. But the Rishonim say you need not only shishim. We saw this in Tosfos. You need shishim not only keneged the shuman, but if you hold kanan, you need shishim keneged the klipa, because when it was nimlach first, you did melicha first, it was osir kede klipa, so you need shishim keneged that klipa. Right? They do know such an idea, saying shishim keneged. Here it's b'di'evan mutar. So the Prima Gadim and Riki Veger both quote from the Magen Avraham that this din only applies by Basa B'Chalav. It's a unique kula here. It's a unique kula here by, not by Basa B'Chalav Stam, not by any Basa B'Chalav, but by this Basa B'Chalav of Ila Agavar. I could have said it, if I wanted to be a clever choker and switch hats for a moment, I could have said this, but it's not at all what's going on, which is that if you remember the Isser Kedei Klipa, when the top one is hot and the bottom one is cold, really is against Pshuto Shel Braisa. The Tosefta as we have it, and in other words, the Bavli has to make out something in Ukimta Dechuka to say, to distinguish between Sonen Totzonen and Chama Totzonen. The original reading they had of the Braisa is that Chama Totzonen and Sonen Totzonen had the same din. No Safal Zeh, we pointed out, that the Tosefta as we have it in the Chulin doesn't even mention Sonen Totzonen. So the ukimta that the Bavli makes within the Braisa could not have been made in our Tosefta, because it doesn't even mention the case of Tzonen the Totzonen that you can say a little piece fell out. So I would have said that really Medina, even Cham the Totzonen should have been Madicho v'Ochla, which should have been Mutter Heter Gamor. And that's why we're making. Now, that's not what anybody's saying, but the Magen Avraham says as follows. In the case of Ila Gavar, by Basar B'Cholav, by the case of Tata Gavar, and in this case the Ila was hot, so he says that that klipa is only aser midrabanan. Why? Because it's not derech bishul. He assumes, and is an assumption here, and we I don't know if there's a question on the b'china or not, he's assuming that irui, because that's what this is, presumably, the top one is irui from a hot source, that's oser kedei klipa, is not called derech bishul. I didn't know that's what I thought we had seen those who held that davar gush was not derech bishul, but irui was derech bishul. But that's what he says here. That's what the Prima Gadim and the Kivayir quote. In which case, it's a unique kula by the klipa of Basar B'Chalav of a situation where it's Chan L'Totzoni. But it's not a global din that you can say that whenever there was no klipa, that b'di'evet it's mutter. You need to know this din, by the way, just parenthetically. The Shach, right at the beginning, the Taz, at the beginning, the Simen, is going to make reference to this din in the Ramah. So, once if you assume that, then at least I understand why you don't need shishim keneged the klipa b'di'evet, because it's a chumra, it's a little bit of chumra in the first place. It's really an only issur d'rabbanon, and therefore b'di'evet. B'di'evet, the klipa is not oseris. Now by the milk we understand why, and the shach links the two. By the milk you can't tell where the klipa was, and you don't know which it was, which the milk was, which part is the klipa and which is not, and therefore it's mutter. What about by the basar? So the truth is, if the basar is still intact, the Rama, which the Shach claims, and this is what the Shach points out, astira, and as opposed to not shooting down the Rama, he says the Rama is talking about a case in which you ground up the meat and you can't tell where the klipa is anymore. Now, one thing he doesn't make clear is, do you have to grind up the meat before you cook it? Or would we say that if you cook the meat when the klipa was still nikar, that would aser the meat? I think it's the former. I don't really understand why it should matter. The bottom line is the klipas asura. Who cares that you can't recognize anymore? Apply the rule of bittul b'shishim. So I don't understand why the milk is muteris. I don't understand why the klipas muteris and why it's not oser keneged shishim. But that's what the Rama says, and the Shach accepts that. There's a long taz here in Siv Zayin, and the taz is a long arichas here in which he thinks that this is very difficult, and the maskana, he's machmir. He thinks that we should hold like the Riva. The Riva held, the Torah quotes the Riva, who says that no, of course you require kedei klipa by the milk as well. And if you don't have shishim in the milk, keneged the klipa of the meat, then in fact it's asura, and that's how the Taz thinks we should pass it.
Keneged the klipa of the meat?
Yes. In other words, the bottom line is when
you can't measure the klipa of the milk.
You can. No, you can. You can make an estimate of what the klipa on the meat would be. The point is, the point of contact between the milk and meat, the amount of flavor transfer is limited to the klipa of the meat, and presumably kenegdo in the milk. So therefore, in order to be the only part of the meat that could get out into the milk is the klipa. Even if it's hot milk poured from on top, or either way, nothing's going to get inside the meat beyond the klipa. So the maximum you're talking about is the klipa of meat flavoring milk, and the milk won't get any further than inside the klipa of the meat. So normally the klipa of meat is going to be asur, it's not going to have shisha and levat al-chav unless it was very little chalav. So the Taz thinks that one should be machmer like the Riva, you should require shisha. But that means also, if you hold like the Riva, it means you don't hold like the Taz is on the Mechaber, it's not on the Ramah. But considering that the Ramah's din, that b'dieved, if you failed to separate the klipa, and now you cooked it with the rest of the food, that it's not usur b'dieved, so it would mean rejecting that part of that piece of the Ramah as well. Okay. Yes, Ben. Uh-oh. Let me pull out the Gemara on me. I know.
V'ha itmar, k'zayit basar shenafal l'toch yorah shel chalav, amar rav, basar usur v'chalav mutar.
And the maskana of the Gemara was, not yet Rabbi Yubin.
True. As long as it's still boiling.
Yeah, so it means that mivla bala, mifla lo pala, that's all.
Right, so therefore the milk is perfectly fine. The meat absorbs the milk. It's only a one-way transfer.
No, the Gemara says that in very limited circumstances. That's
okay,
all.
So the Gemara says it has to be boiling.
That's not the din here, and nobody says that, Ben. It's very nice.
Precedent.
Okay. Fine. That's if Dalit. Any questions about that? If someone has a better explanation. There's a long Rabbi Kiviger here also. I didn't have the time to read it carefully, but I didn't see any clear-cut answer to deal with the problem. As I mentioned, he quotes the Magen Avraham, but other than the Magen Avraham's Teretz, which is a little bit haphazard. I mean, it's not haphazard, but it's sort of... it's almost by definition. But other than that, I don't know why. I don't really understand. I don't understand. Okay, yes, Ari?
I'm not sure I totally understand the shaft, so this question might not make any sense. But according to the shaft, if you had, if it wasn't milk, it would be cheese, and you would be able to get a klipa, some form of the actual substance.
Yeah.
Then the halacha wouldn't be, according to
the vada you'd have to set, while the klipa still leak, you'd have to separate, absolutely.
The only reason he says that you don't take a
creep up
from the
chav
is because
it's not nikar. Yeah. Yeah.
That really does sound like nishpach, doesn't it?
No.
Is that because you know that you have a role with that there, but is it?
No. Nobody says a word about that. I don't think it sounds at all like that. Nishbach means you have a tarovis already, and you're not sure whether the tarovis had. There's nothing to do with this. Here, your determination should be whether the tarovis had or not. And the Ramah says, and it's clear to me, the Ramah knows those other Rishonim about klipa at shishim, and he's saying you don't need shishim, connected to klipa, and I don't know why. The Magen Avraham was sufficiently bothered to say that this is the exceptional case.
So, I mean, it would be making a kimta, but that you think it's absolute that. That even if you know you don't have shishim, can I get whatever the klipa of a chalav could be, and it's still going to be 100% mutter?
That's what the Ramah says, but the evidence mutter, yes. I think the old Nosei Kalim take it that way. I think it's a davar pashut. It's a davar pashut. If there was shishim, it's a davar pashut. All right, let me just introduce Sifhei. This is really from the tour. The language is a little bit tricky in the tour. The tour has a dangly modifier. But the halacha is that in order to be considered, so now we're on to Malicha. When it comes to Malicha, in order to have the din of Malicha Kirotech, it has to be, as the Gemara said in Sachim, Eino Nechal Machmas Milcho. It has to be inedible because of its saltiness. The Torah here quotes three opinions as to what exactly being called salty is. And the Mechaber quotes them later in Sifhei, I believe, while he's going to quote one of them at least. Some say it has to be... in order to be considered Eino Nechal Machmas Milcho, that it's Kiroteach, it has to be Maliach for a person who was preserving it to carry on the way. There's a second sheet, I think that's not the first sheet of the Torah quotes. I think that's the second. The most machmir sheet is the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, and I don't know exactly what this is, but the malicha that we molchan also the kedera, that is called Eino Nechal Machmas Milcho. That means that when you salt it to cook it, I mean you need real salt in order to extract the blood. That's called Eino Nechal Machmas Milcho. That would be considered kiroteach if you only salted kemoshe molchan litzli. And again, I don't think there's a din I haven't resolved this problem yet, but there's no din, no chiyuv in principle being moleach litzli. It seems to be in their minog that they did it, but you don't need to, because by tzli, by definition, if you cook it over a fire, the blood drips down, and it's not nivla, and dame varm shalo pirish is mutter.
That's Shmuel's
good, right? Dame varm shalo pirish?
No,
you don't need moleach litzli. It's like the first gemara we learned.
What?
No, he's
the
one who said
klipa.
The first gemara in Pula.
He just
learned.
Said
maliach
karotea. He said kavash kavosho. Tosus said that it may be that the amount of malicha you need on, and that could even, I don't know if it's leaving the kedera, might still be necho machas milcha, in which case it's not good there. That's how he explained, I think, by the Gidanosh. Yes, the first Tosus. So Rashi says, when you salt meat to put it away, which is probably the largest concentration of salt, the only way to make the meat edible again is to soak it and rinse it off well. The second shita was that if you're moleach letzorach haderach, which is probably not as salty as Rashi salty, that's called enonecha machas milcho. Less than that, again, less than the shear of that they provided would be considered nechal machas milcho. It's not kerodino keroteach. And finally, Rabbi Tam says that even melicha shemochon lekidera is considered enonechal machas milcho and would have the din of roteach. But if it's but the Torah says at the end, and it's sort of a hanging modifier, aval nechal machmas milcho, meaning if it's not one of these three, whichever way you paskin, then dino is not kiroteach, and basically it has the din of tzone. Somebody asked a question, the Beis Yosef asked a question, why? Why shouldn't it be considered partial heat? He gives a whole scientific pshetel, as my Rebbe would say, as to why, how malicha works versus why is chamimus beis hashchita, which is not as hot, it's not really cham, that's considered mixas chamimus to be bolea mavlia partially, but the mixas salt is not mavlia partially. So he gives a scientific pshetel as the way salt works versus the way heat works. Okay, fine. All right. So are there any questions about that? All right. So God willing, on Thursday we will complete Siman Sadi Ayin. I hope things will be a little calmer in between now and then. I'll be able to, or Rotev will be over one way or the other at least, and then we'll be able to. Go over the questions. I hope, and I'm not promising to have the Bechina by next Thursday. If I don't, I will make every possible effort to have it by at least Monday. Okay? Fine.